podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Fire for them, fire for them. If you're looking for that 35 bag umbrella and all damn thing there, keep it locked with this Dissonomics podcast.
Yo, what's going on, people? Hope you have a fantastic week. Your boy Dissonomics is back. We'll be missing no more episodes. It's been a rough week, as you can hear by my voice. It's been rough. It's like the second or third time it's happened to me in 2 years. But we back. We pushing through. Yes, so this week's episode, I'm going to be joined by my boy Yom. Yomi from Codeless Launch Squad. He's been working in tech for almost 10 years now. And he set up a venture to help people get their first version of app without having to have the stress of developers. So this is a very good one, especially for people who have interest in tech. And it's very interesting to see, go behind the scenes of how the best websites that we've seen actually work and why some websites don't really work for you. So this is going to be a fantastic pod. Of course, I'll be back with a midweek pod talking on the local elections. So any questions you have, hit me up on Dissonomics, Twitter and Instagram, or my email address. And I do want to talk soon about what's happening regarding abortion. So any young ladies with strong views on that or expertise, please hit me up. And I'd love to have you on my podcast, you know what I mean? But anyway, yeah, this week's podcast, me and Yom, why your website visitors are not turning into customers. Lego.
Hi, it's MXM, and listen to the Dissonomics podcast because it's lit.
Yo, people, I hope you've had a good week so far. You'll now listen to the Dissonomics podcast again. I'm joined by a special guest, and this actually has been a long time coming. I am joined by my boy Yomi. Yomi, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm good, man. That's good, man. What are you telling me?
Nothing much. So, Yomi, tell us about yourself so you could give as much information or as little information as you please. So, introduce yourself to the Dissonomics audience.
Yeah, for sure. So, in summary, I'm a product manager with experience driving growth in startups and scale-ups. And I use no-code tools to build apps and just help non-technical business founders who aren't in the tech world to build the first version of their app, whilst improving usage and conversions.
Okay, so did you say you use non-code tools? Is that what you said?
Yeah, no code tools.
Okay, what does that mean for the audience?
Yeah, essentially, like, you know, the space has changed. You know, a lot of people used to use developers who used to overcharge them for existing features or proven technology. But I remember one weekend when I was there like a dummy trying to code, and, you know, trying to really do this HTML, CSS, JavaScript thing. And I remember one weekend, one guy said he kind of built, like, his landing page is already getting customers. And I just said, nah, never again. I played myself.
Okay, so that's interesting. So so speak on that what you said before. So, like, give examples where you say, like, developers can kind of overcharge people in the beginning.
Yeah, so, you know, when you're working with developers, what I find is that you've got to explain in extreme detail the different expected behavior and the different states of how your app wants to work. And you've got to really explain the underlying architecture. And if you don't, what you find is that you fail to get on the same page with them. But the real issue really starts when it comes to revisions. You know, it's like when you're not, you know, a lot of people typically would used developers from, you know, let's say Upwork in places like India, Russia and Ukraine. Well, at the moment it's a bit peak there, but, you know, just in a lot of these places, but trying to get that real shared understanding. And when you see that first version, you're like, nah, this ain't it. And then, you know, you try and get them to revise it. That's when the problem tends to start.
Yeah, of course. I remember one of my boys was running the app, and he was, the person who he was, the developer was based in India. And he said there was obviously like a time difference barrier, language barrier, and then let alone trying to articulate your vision specifically enough to the developer to take on. So I think the most important thing is for people to know your history. How did you end up in tech? Like, what was your interest growing up? And like, how did you land yourself in the tech and startup space?
You know, that's a great question. So I actually, you know, I studied financial computing at university. I went to Brunel University, and yeah, I just kind of jumped into like everyone, like banking, you know. At the time, I even started contracting because it was like a recession and, you know, they weren't really giving anyone proper jobs. So, you know, I was doing that whole thing. But I remember feeling like, I don't know if anyone ever felt this before, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate, but I remember I used to get on Canary Wharf, and it's like, you know, in my year, I'm learning the different suits because, you know, you don't want to wear the suit that people, you know, that roadman used to court. You know, you wanna
be wearing
shiny suit gang. So I'm all fixing up my suits. But then when I'm hopping on the Jubilee line from Canary Wharf to like Stratford, as soon as I get to Canning Town, I'm all dressed smart. Someone will say, "Yo, Yoms, swear down, is that you?" Yeah. And I just remember thinking, like, I just felt like a fraud, if I'm honest. Like, I just didn't feel comfortable.
Mm.
And after like 5 years, I was like, no, I just want to try something different. I just knew at that stage in my mid-20s, like just kind of like early mid-20s, I was like, if I don't make a change now, I might go the wrong direction. So yeah, in that year, I just kind of like took a break, and then I just said, let me like explore what's out there. And really, I just started like networking and just building relationships with like loads of founders. I used to go to like Old Street a lot because you got like the Silicon Milk Roundabout, just essentially that's what they used to call it, as a space for like where all these startups and tech people used to hang and go to like Google campus. And then yeah, through there, I just built my kind of like, you know, understanding of the space, and just, you know, I landed my first gig as a product manager kind of accidentally, because the guy was like, I know you haven't done the skills, but I feel like it's similar to a BA, but looking back, he was quite wrong. But, you know, once I got my foot through that door, I was like, no, I'm not looking back. And then I just transitioned properly into the role. So yeah, I just like, I learned more about the different roles in tech, and obviously the product management isn't the only role in tech. It's just, it's one of a few. And yeah, like it's, that's how I kind of got into the game basically.
So what is product management? Like, speak on it. Cause obviously people like me, I'm on knee deep in tech. So a lot of these job titles or specific functions, we're not as aware. We kind of have an idea, but obviously that is your day-to-day life. So speak to me on what you do as a product manager and how that's helpful for businesses.
Yeah, and I'm just going to explain the most basic version because it's obviously not an interview, but
yeah,
essentially you're a problem solver within a company, and I work with the help of engineers, designers, and, you know, either data analysts or data scientists to solve solutions that the business wouldn't be able to solve without my strategic thinking and, you know, problem solution exploration to take the business to the next level.
Okay, so this kind of leads into like the meat and bones of this conversation between me and yourself. So you've actually have a business called Codeless Launch Squad, right?
Yeah.
So speak to me on what motivated you to create Codeless Launch Squad, and what actually is it for us who are unaware currently?
Yeah, no, great question. So essentially you just created this program because I wanted to show non-technical business founders that who aren't in the tech world that you don't have to be technical to create a fully functioning app. And I want to help them because as a product manager, I really have your business in mind to create the best experience for your customers.
Of course.
And if I build it with you, it means that you get guided learning and acquire the knowledge of building apps with no code, that process that I told you about, which means that once you get your first version, you can go in and build on it and update things if you wish to do so. So you don't actually have to hire anyone to do this because you will have this knowledge. And yeah, essentially, you know, I experienced that problem when I started using code, and, you know, I saw what it was like working with developers that don't get you the app you want for your business, as it's hard to get on the same page with them. And they don't really have that business mindset where they build you an app that's helping you with acquisition. And then on top of that, I've seen that it costs a lot of money as you end up paying for revisions because, you know, a lot of the times, and you said this yourself, they just deliver. What they deliver is just not what you envisioned, you know? So yeah, that's why with Codeless Launch Squad, you don't need to rely on other people. You know, I really wanted to help people get that first version of the app. And if you speak to loads of people in the tech space and people that are getting funding or trying to save 6 months of their salary so that they can, you know, take a sabbatical or, you know, take a break and try and get their business idea off the ground, that's the biggest thing that just kind of like crutches people, you know, just kind of getting to that first version. And that's where all the information is really, that learning, just getting to, getting to market, getting started and acquiring customers. And yeah, so it's a process I had to follow myself and, you know, learn a lot of things along the way, which I can talk about. And yeah, that's where it is, man. And yeah, we're here now. We're ready. I've started, you know, I've been doing it as well, like kind of like in private beta, but I was like, yeah, and no, I need to kind of like show more people about what I'm doing now.
Okay, so so now you're ready to launch to the universe now. So speak on like the problems that you help solve. So like speak on that, because I think that's very, very important for, I know a lot of people that listen to my podcast are have entrepreneurial minds, or maybe have friends or family with entrepreneurial minds who, obviously we're in a world where almost every business has an app, right? Do you know what I mean? So how does your specifically, so like give us like an example of how Codeless Launch can help somebody from Genesis to the end of actually getting a app out in the first place.
Yeah, for sure. And I think a lot of it is just like being unaware. You know, I've spoken to people who like don't really know the difference between you know, what their web, you know, they're getting a lot of visitors on their website. So this is like a common problem. Like you're doing all the marketing, you're doing all the content, you're getting a lot of visitors, but you're not really able to turn those visitors into real customers and you don't know why. So what that is, you know, a lot of times people aren't able to experience your proposition very quickly. And, you know, when you're thinking about a journey on a, you know, on a website, like people's attention spans are slow, you know? So that's why they always talk about, you know, if you speak to a developer, they're talking to you about load times and all this technical stuff. I'm talking about the fact that, you know, you need to have an experience that lets people experience your proposition quickly, so that A, it's going to help you with ranking on Google anyway, but B, this is when, you know, you can start to like create an experience that gets someone's attention and entices them or creates intrigue about how much value you can add. Or then you reduce the work that your users have to perform so that they don't get tired or annoyed, or they don't get, you know, they don't using a confusing experience that doesn't really make it clear what designs or actions they need to take next, you know, and the elements are like unmissable. So you, a good example is that when you use Spotify, you just know you can click play, scroll straight into, you know, the latest playlist. They don't try and make you jump through loads of hoops and hurdles. Or when you click on Google, like you imagine it's just literally a big white screen, but you just got one box. It's very clear what you need to do to click search. So these are a lot of things that, you know, even when people like, you know, non-technical business founders are working with developers, you know, if you, and I've spoken to a lot of them, you can ask them, a lot of them assume that the developer does the design, but it's a different skill set.
Of course.
So a lot of people don't know like when's the right time to bring in a designer. So it's just me like meeting people, I think, where they are. And like, I've been in this space for a long time and I've just seen like a lot of the problems people have had with this. And yeah, I just had to go on that journey myself to be able to like do it, show I can help other people and just kind of like help more people with it as well.
Yeah, of course. It's very interesting listening to you speak. With regards to going on a website and an experience, so Google's perfect. That's like all of our like base, like when we need to find something out, we just go on Google. I give examples of some websites that I've gone on, and then I've gone on with the intention of buying stuff and I've left because it's just too long. Zara, I'll go on Zara, I'm like, this is long. I'd rather walk to Westfields. Do you know what I mean? And go and look through the store than go through this website. Even Apple, like I click on a new product and I have to go through so much marketing. Yo, look at the shape of this iPad. Look what, bro, tell me the fucking price. Do you know what I mean? So I can see if man wants to buy it or nah. Whereas like, I like Nike website because it's very simple. Like all the filters are there. Boom, 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 boom. Adidas, completely different. I hate their website. Like I literally only go on Adidas website if I know they got a 20% sale or something like that, because of what you just said. Like to get to where you need to get to, there's too many hoops. And I really, really agree with that, because I can see that for myself, that when I'm on certain apps or using certain websites, if I have to go through bare hoops, I ain't got time. I'm coming out. I give up super duper easily. So I think that's very, very interesting to hear that. And obviously I class my content as a business is also another, like, and I think that you can transfer some of the principles that you're discussing in terms of like when people come on your, let's say your Instagram page or whatever, how quickly can they see what you're about and what you're trying to get to them. So I find those concepts super duper interesting, and that's very, very clever. But how do you go about in achieving that in the design mode? Like, because obviously I haven't got really of a design head. So let's say I had a website for, I don't know, trainers, right? Like, what are some of the skills and things that you have learned that obviously that you channel through Codeless Launch Squad that helps you, like, help people pattern up the design stage?
Brilliant. Yeah, no, and I'm just going to, like, I just think it's so funny that it's what you said about Zara, because it's so true. Like, I remember working with some, you know, one of the startups, like, one agency came through, and then they were, like, saying to another one of the teams, they were like, don't let creativity get in the way of, don't let, like, just kind of, like, your design principles get in the way of creativity. But, you know, there is a proven formula, you know, which is why there's a Google Material Design System and, you know, a lot of these things. But to answer your question specifically, what we do is make sure that you've got a clear start to end customer journey. You know, this is something that, you know, I do all the time, you know, working with UX designers and product designers. You know, you need to have a clear customer journey to
quickly for the listeners, what is UX design? What's a UX designer?
Okay. Yeah, so essentially, when you're talking about UX and UI designers, the best way I can think of it is, you know, user experience is focused on the journey that the users take to solve a problem. And if you ever hear the word user interface, that's just more about how a product's surface looks and feels. So, you know, another thing people say is like, UI, user interface is the bridge that gets you to where you want to go. But user experience is the feeling when you arrive.
Okay, that's an excellent example. Excellent. Yeah, sorry, go on, continue.
Yeah, so essentially it's like just having a clear start to end journey. It's also designing for a specific user in mind. And it's also like just being aware of like some basic principles in regards to, you know, what's kind of expected, you know, and you kind of build up that, I guess, design muscle once you've worked on so many different apps and you've kind of seen what looks good as well. So yeah, like I've got, you know, talented like product designers and UX designers around me as well that, you know, work with on all the apps that kind of like I'll bring into market. But I also bring a lot of this, you know, it's quite funny when me and the product designers or UX designers are talking, because they always think kind of from the angle of like, how might we do this and how might we do that? And I'm always thinking strategically about, no, like, you know, this is a, for example, like this app has a natural usage frequency of weekly or monthly. So we need to consider that and think about, you know, what the user is trying to achieve at this point and, you know, where the right messaging should be and how much comms they are. And, you know, I'm also thinking about the business model and, you know, how does this app make money and how are we going to take people from the top of the funnel to the, you know, to where they can pay. And, you know, the product designer as well, I'll tell you one thing, if you ever work with product designers, and this is the maddest thing, it's like the Zara example, anything that they design and they typically use tools like Figma, Sketch, might not even be technically possible. So, you know, you might be looking at a pretty design and it might say, you know, a real example might say like, you know, yeah, when you click this, it needs to do this and that in 3 seconds. But if you spoke to a developer, they might say, oh, that API call is going to take 30 minutes. So already the designer's kind of like, you know, not really considered any of the technical considerations. Okay. And this is where like I'm the bridge between the two.
Okay, that's super duper important, right? Because obviously as a entrepreneur or somebody who's part of the entrepreneurial team, you just have the vision of what the business does, like the problem they solve in the world, whether it be providing people luxury durags or delivering goods and services, whatever it may be, right? But when it comes to like, of course, like the app, so the tech side of things, you're not going to naturally, for example, me, I like to believe I'm a pretty bright person. I will never think of all of these things that you've mentioned, never in a million years. It just won't come to my mind. So I think it's very important that Codeless Launch Squad exists because it helps fill that need and provides like the insight that you need to your, because obviously I've seen a lot of horrible websites, let me not lie. Yeah, horrible websites. But I can't really blame people, because if that's not what your craft is, it's difficult to know who to go to, what is value for money, what is like, it's just it's just very, very difficult. And we're all kind of like getting to grips with this tech world. So yeah, it's very, very impressive. But obviously
it's very confusing out there, bro. I think that's what you just hit the nail on the head as well, because if you're somebody that, you know, like I could give you good advice here, but if you speak to another 3-4 people and you probably know this in anything here, you get confused as well, right? Because, you know, like well, now this person's saying this, this person's saying that. A lot of this is unaware, you know, things that people are unaware of this. And on top of that, a lot of my process is very like, it's not common knowledge. Like even the stuff that I'm doing is not common knowledge. Like it's only when people start seeing the results, they're like, rah, I didn't know. And that's why I always tend to get a lot of questions as well, because it's like, people don't believe it's like, they're like, nah, how can this be possible? Like,
I'm only, too good to be true.
I believe that an app can only be built by someone else and it has to be like a developer, you know, they just already have that kind of thing in it, you know, in terms of their thing. So this is where a lot of the stuff that, I'm just really having fun kind of like, just, you know, showing my personality and just kind of like showing different ways of doing things really.
Okay, so how long has Coda's launch been out in the streets, man, and moving and shaking? Like, how long has it been so far?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been under a year. Like, I think it's been cooking in the pot, to say. You know, like, a lot of it's been done in, like, just private one-to-one, because I just really wanted to, like, hone in terms of, like, my messaging and making sure that I weren't really being too technical in how I was explaining things and just being able to, like, take people through that process as well. So yeah, man, this is it now. Like, it's out here.
So what's your goals for Codeless Launch Squad? Like, where do you see it going? And who are you really targeting? Who's your audience?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm looking to serve non-technical business founders who aren't in the tech world that want to build that first version of their app. And yeah, like, I mean, in terms of where I see it going, I believe, you know, there's, you know, in terms of the space, there's a lot of different, I'd say, like, places where people need this help. And I think a lot of, you know, there's people that, want to build the first version of their app because they've been the first to pioneer. They want to be the first to pioneer the solution in their industry. And then there's also people like that are typically in a kind of like incubators and startups that kind of, you know, also, I've kind of like been having conversations and kind of like want to do some work together. But yeah, for me, I think the main thing is I want to get more predictability for people about building certain type of apps. And there's also some newer technologies that, you know, because a lot of what Coders Launch Squad is doing now is just telling people that you don't need to work, you know, overpay developers for proven and existing technology. Some of the stuff that developers are building have been out here for 10 years, bro, and they're still charging an arm and a leg. When
what's an arm and a leg? Give us like examples of like something that you can do.
Spending 20k to build an app, but she had no customers, so she's gone through the stress, the evenings, the weekends, testing, bugging, the website's down, it's up and down, trying to explain so many revisions. And I was gobsmacked that she'd spent 20 grand. And I was like, so how much customers have you got? And she had zero. Like, I couldn't believe it.
Oh, no.
Do you get what I'm saying? And like, you know, when people are building apps, they're spending 10 to 15K, you know. You might get someone that comes in and says to you some low price, but by the time you get, you know, it's kind of like, you know, a catfish, you know. By the time you come out the other door, like, you know, you're not going to leave the barbershop with half your head shaved. Do you get what
I'm saying? Yeah, facts. That's a perfect example. It's true, man. I've had people spend bucket loads on apps, you know, absolute bucket loads. Why do you believe apps are so important today, and how do they translate into money?
Yeah, so I really believe apps are like for certain type of businesses, if I'm honest, like people who want to scale. So, you know, I think I've heard you talk about this kind of stuff in like previous podcasts, because, you know, I'm a big listener. I love the podcast.
Come on, my bro.
And, you know, it's this opportunity to like really have economies of scale, zero marginal cost. You know, maybe in a future podcast, you can even break that down even more, but it's the ability to just, you know, scale your operational team, you know? So if you've got an existing business and you've been doing it for 3 years and you've got all the awards and, you know, you've done so much things. My question is like, what's stopping you from 10xing that? And a lot of times it's like, operationally, our biggest costs are like our staff and our office space, right? So, you know, you want to be able to give the first person that gives you comes through your door the same experience as the 100th person or the 500th person.
Mm.
Your business or your product or your service ain't going to grow if you get overwhelmed when, you know, you chuck in, you know, if you 10x your marketing spend and you had 10 times much customers, you're going to give 10 times poor experience, because that's just going to, the streets is going to know about it, right? Everyone's going to know that, you know, you're not really delivering, or this person's slow to reply, or, you know, this person takes long to do this. So it's really for people who, you know, want to just kind of like reach that scale. You know, they've got a business, you know, an existing business, or, you know, that they've kind of really like been serving, but, you know, they kind of want to take it to the next level. And those are typically the people that I believe it's best for, because they know they've got an idea of like how their business works, and they want to like, they want to serve their customers better, or, you know, they want to bring this new customer base through because they've already kind of like served an adjacent customer base, and they want to create this better experience. So ultimately it's about scale, like being able to like, you know, really provide a good level service, you know, and do that to a lot, you know, with a lot of customers, you know, and that's essentially who typically wants to build apps, essentially. Okay. Or people that want to be the first to pioneer a solution in the industry. If you've worked in accounting or banking or insurance or whatever it is for like 5-10 years, like 9 times out of 10, you're like, this tool that I'm using every day to do my job is booky. It sucks,
bro.
I do it. Like, if it was me, all it would have to do was this, this, and this. And I think that's where the creativity comes in.
100%. Okay, cool. Hey, Yom, you've been great. So to round up, like, so where can people find Coalition Launch Squad? Like, how can they contact you, inquire, and all that type of stuff?
Yeah, like, I think for that, just mainly the IG now. Like, I made a commitment to focus more on the IG and just kind of really create this awareness. So yeah, Coalition Launch Squad, you know, just go to, it's just like how you think you'd spell it, CODELESS launch, LAUNCH, and squad, SQUAD. So yeah, go on the IG. There's a lot of content there, and I think it really kind of like speaks to a lot of what I was talking about. And yeah, I'm sure, like, you know, if you experience those things and you're like, yeah, this sounds like me, like, just the link in the bio, or drop me a DM through there, or you know, just go on the website through there, and yeah, definitely, like, we'll be in touch.
Wicked. I'm gonna have all the links in the description of this podcast, so the Instagram, the website, everything you need to know. But yeah, Yom, you've been fantastic. Like, I've learned so much today about apps and developers and all sorts. Like, I feel like this is so super, super interesting. I definitely want to have you on again to talk about other things within the tech sector, but I'm sure by the time I have you on again,
yeah, for sure,
you're doing great things. But yeah, man, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure.
No, for sure, man. And yeah, like, love for having me as well. Thank you.
Anytime.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.